The agri-hood is one approach to what I call kind of the local food movement. It's people trying to ensure the integrity of their food by getting your food from people they know. And you, as that neighborhood, have control over how it's produced.
Farm-to-table living, a neighborhood that would be based on community and doing life with people and wellness. And so I'm reading this description of this agri-community, and I look at my husband, and I'm like, we will live here.
We set out on a journey over 7,000 miles ago because we wanted to learn as much as we could about the agri-hood lifestyle. And what we quickly realized is why more and more people are choosing healthier and sustainable communities over traditional or conventional subdivisions.
The biggest difference would just be the sense of like-minded people. We all want our kids to be outside, fishing, climbing trees, you know, visiting with the animals, being in touch with reality, being in touch with nature, eating healthy food. I mean, there's really no comparison. There's nothing quite like what we're experiencing here.
You're dialed into the perfect podcast. This is AgriHood Radio. Everything you need to know about the farm-to-table lifestyle.
All right. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
It's going well.
Are you both in Colorado?
We are. Are you in Arizona?
We finally got back to Arizona after that five-month trek. So we're here for a couple of weeks, and then we're heading back out again. So you guys are both up back there in Colorado. We're in Arizona. Where's Beckner? Where's John? Where's JB? Hanging out with Dave Matthews, playing guitars?
He is. Actually, he just bought a new farm, and so he's in the middle of moving, and then we literally got our CO the other day, last Friday, so we literally are moving into our new place. The next time you guys are in Colorado, we'll have you out here.
Okay, we'll look forward to that.
Yeah, just for fun and good food, and you can see what we're doing here, and maybe we'll have some of the patent trials up and things like that, so yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome. So, you know, John, we met with you out there at the Baseline Project, and we got a pretty good grasp of the layout of the land, and we wanted to kind of revisit and follow up with you because obviously there's some things happening out there that we haven't seen before along our travels, and I want you to kind of fill us in and give us an overview of what's going to be happening out there, and so we can kind of get a better idea of what's happening, what's going on.
Sure. So, like you guys saw, we're still in the kind of the dirt work phase, or not really even there yet, in the planning phase, but we're set to start moving dirt and making things happen probably in the next 3 or 4 months, I would imagine. The property in its entirety is about 900 acres total, but on that acreage is going to be a pretty wide variety of things happening. Our responsibility as part of the team, the development team, is to help integrate all sorts of different agricultural elements. And that's both production space, that's processing space, that's kind of tying together some of the restaurateurs and other entrepreneurs in the food space that are going to be calling the site home. And we've been doing that process for about 18 months now, and we're pushing hard to start making things happen.
Now, that baseline kind of completes the triangle of Denver, Boulder, right?
It does. Right. Yep. It's north of Denver and east of Boulder, about 20 plus minutes from each of them.
It's a prime location. And what has us really intrigued and interested is not only the concept that you're working on with McWinney. And by the way, McWinney is huge. I did my due diligence, and they're a big player, aren't they?
They are big. They're also really good because they like to do, like, we had to convince them a little bit, but not a lot. Like, once they understood what we were doing, you know, that it wasn't just an old timey farm trying to be a history and a petting zoo. That we were actually trying to address people's health and all that, you know, and we have these, I don't know if John showed you, but these agriculturally augmented business opportunities, you know, and on like the dentist with the mint and the daycare on a farm and STEM schools, and they are fascinated. They love it. and they'll execute, you know, together with them, it'll get executed. We don't know exactly how, you know, how much of it and how long or whatever, but unlike some other developers, they have a kind of reputation for not doing the same thing over and over. So that's really good.
Yeah, and they're standing out from the pack by having that vision, you know, because like you just said, and I really, and I apologize again, but the stuff you were talking to us about when we saw you guys, not only in Virginia, we saw you and Beckner in Virginia, and then we met up with John Fenton in Colorado, and some of the stuff you guys are saying about is being able to get right down to the calorie, the counting of the calories within a community. Can you say that again? Because that is that's mind blowing, and it's not happening anywhere else but Baseline that we know of.
Yeah, no, it isn't. I mean, if no one's there yet, everybody is, you know, they're like all the ones that you saw around the country, all were kind of like, you know, version one, or, and we're like on 2.0 and 2.5 and 3 already. I mean, once we realized that integrating food was more than just kind of, like I say, having a, you know, having a patch at the front door to advertise, it's become a health thing. In fact, actually, I just got a text. We were on our weekly call, and I got a text from a doctor that we've been working with, and she has a partner who's a chiropractor, and she might be the first chiropractor in a farm kit. So she, you know, this is a health thing, and calories and nutrition. It's about growing the food, because that's what makes the food really, really healthy, is when it's 10 minutes old. But the way you go about actually becoming healthy is thinking about other things in the context of food. So this chiropractor, her name's Rebecca, she knew that all the people that were coming to her were basically coming to her to get their joints cracked because they had too much inflammation. So 2 or 3 years ago, she started working on how to take all of her clients grocery shopping, right? So she has this, like, I forget, it's called Abundant Life Kitchens or something. It's basically part of her chiropractic practice that teaches people how to eat so they don't need a chiropractor. I mean, it's interesting, but and she actually even has a medical code to charge to teach people to eat as a chiropractor. Anyway, so when she saw what we were doing, she's on the south side of town, but we'll find the same kind of thing for Baseline. I mean, we already have people lined up that, I mean, other than just restaurants and just, you know, brew pubs and things, of which are great, you know, they're great on farm, you know, but then there's this whole next dimension, which, by the way, is Amazon proof, right? Like, Amazon can't deliver tomatoes that are 10 minutes old. They can fly tomatoes in to you on a drone that came from somewhere else, but it's not, you know what I mean? It's like the whole idea here is that it's a service, farming and food as a service. To answer your question specifically, that's all designed. The calories and the diets, the plantings, all of the planning that goes into it. I don't know if it's going to happen now or not. I think it is, but it's taken longer to sign a contract than I thought. But we have somebody that we're going to design a whole subdivision for diabetics. I mean, it's deliberately for diabetics, because everything planted around you and everything ready for your consumption all goes, you know, to your health.
Right.
And that's a good real estate deal, right? Like they're going to, those people will pay more for their houses and stuff because the landscape around them, because of the context and all the health related, you know, stuff. So anyway, yeah.
Brad, if I could, part of what, just continuing on what Quentin was saying, I think the biggest thing that sets us apart is that we're rooted in design. We're rooted in analysis and design as well as agriculture. We all have backgrounds in ag, in one way or another, but we're all designers, and Quint and his wife in previous careers were scientists. And so we're coming at it from a very analytical place and making sure that we're developing an ecosystem of ag opportunities instead of just saying, okay, here's 2 acres, or okay, here's 5 acres. Let's hire one farmer and have him you know, plant it and harvest it and turn it into a marketing opportunity. We're working on all sorts of different fronts to try to make sure that it's really viable.
And that's where you guys have a niche in the market. Let's talk about this for a second. Those farm kits you create that are branded to Agriburbia, those farm kits allow a resident to turn their property into a working business. You were just talking about the dentist, the farmer, the chiropractor. Didn't that kind of all start? I mean, I kind of saw something like that with Seaside down in Florida. We were visiting Florida a couple years back. And that's when we took our boy Cash. He went trick or treating there, and Seaside was a designed by the gentleman Andres Duani, and he took those right, and he took those homes, and up above the house was the resident, and below the house was the business. But what you're doing, you're actually taking it to a whole nother level by putting that onto a 3 to 5 acre property home site where there could be a working farm.
Yeah. Now, so when Duani did Seaside, they were just trying to figure out how to do what they call live work, where you didn't have to commute and you could live above, which is a very European idea. But they were thinking more like jewelry stores and makers and crafts, which is all really, really great. And we just said, wow, that's what we need to do for farming and health, right? Like everything is better on a farm if you can do it, right? And so, yeah, it's like live work. Farming. I mean, live work is planning. Duani didn't really invent that. He kind of tried to install it at Seaside, but it works. I mean, it works for those guys and it, whatever. And so, you know, we're just we're at the beginning of the curve, but there'll be thousands. Our tagline is 30 million farmers, right?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? They're not all going to be raising tomatoes, right? Some are going to be, you know, I mean, almost anything you can think of. I mean, there's even ideas where, you know, they have some that will be textile, small textile mills and stuff. And they, you know, have llamas and they spin llama. Yeah. I mean, there's just a gazillion things. I mean, if you think about it, you work backwards. Everything that we wear, everything that we use as humans for habitat, food or, you know, clothing or whatever that's sustainable, actually comes from the ground in some way. You know, it's an either animal product or a plant product or whatever. So the shorter we can make that supply chain for people, the closer they can see to how it's made. You know, I mean, ultimately, that's the key in our mind. I agree with John Fenton there. You know, we didn't look at it like just trying to get a farm. We looked at it like by saying, How is food and stuff, how are things going to really work in the future?
And that's what Baseline's all about.
Totally, Baseline. If you want to know, I don't know if, you know, how much of a big reader you are or whatever, you seem to have read a lot and know a lot about things. But if you've never read the book World Made from Hand or World Made by Hand.
World Made by Hand. Okay, I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, by J.F. Kunstler. Yeah, it's Kunstler. Stler. He's been a planning and real estate writer for years and years, and kind of always it's very funny because that book is kind of, it's the negative vision of what's potentially going to happen when the planet finally snaps, right? And it's kind of this weird thing about how people are going to eat they're going to eat close to home. Because that's the only, there's no supply chains anymore, right? Because the world is coming apart. And that's why it's called World Made by Hand or World Made by Hand. Yeah, I think that's it. World Made from Hand or whatever. You'll get it. Anyway, the idea is to try and avoid that or come to that without the negative part of it, right? If we get a lot of people making stuff, it'll be much better for everybody.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's what the whole community Baseline is about, and that's what's got our attention. Lena has family there. It's a great state, Colorado. What you guys are doing there, it really does. It's really, really high on our radar. And I wanted to ask you this: is there a limit on the number of farm kits you're going to put on that property?
How many are in the design now?
At the moment, we have six slated, and we're partway or probably 60% of the way through the site planning process and engineering for three of them. So that's going to be the first phase, but we have six total on the plan thus far.
And I would say, I mean, the whole project's 1,000 acres. So, you know, if they're really as successful as we think they're going to be or whatever, you know, the client basically said, you know, the client is still money motivated and they want to do things that make money and do really cool stuff. So there's other locations. That also, where John showed you, I think you were probably standing at 160th, right? That has the best views. I mean, that basically has some of the best views on the entire north side of Denver, right? I mean, that's just the mountain views and everything overlooking your vineyard or whatever it is, your health farm, you know? So I wish we could build them tomorrow, but we're working as fast as we can. But I think John's right. We're probably, you know, in the 4 to 6 month time frame to get them started. I don't know, you know, what your timing is going to be, but.
Well, we have two houses here in Arizona. Like I was telling you guys, you know, we're right now, and people are looking at us, we show up, you've probably seen our site by now. And what we're doing is we're taking our time with this. And because again, it's a passion of ours. I we bought this house. We looked into Montana, we looked in Colorado, Florida, we looked everywhere. And then we found one here in Arizona, but now we're talking more than a house. We're talking a lifestyle. And once we learned about the whole Agrihood concept, you know, we started digging more, researching more. And the more we did that, the more our passion grew. So I said, you know what, let's go all in. Let's get in that motor coach, take it around the country and learn as much as we possibly can learn about each of these communities that we're visiting. And that way, when it comes time to make a decision, we'll feel educated. And in the process of doing this, why not share the lifestyle with the world? And that's why we created the blog, Agrihood Living. So I hope it's being appreciated by people who are new to the concept or in the same situation we're in as far as looking and trying to learn more about it. And that's what the whole idea is about.
I think it's going to be killer. I think we, like John, when John was here working the other day, we were talking about it, and it's like, we knew eventually somebody would kind of take it on. And it just really, like at one point we were going to try and figure out how to study all of it and, you know, whatever. But in our situation, we're just trying to, like, we're trying to make farmers. I mean, we're trying to make it happen. So I think you're doing a huge service by trying to figure out, you know, the different nuances and things like that. I mean, it'll be really good. I know, because I was where you were, you know, my boys are 17 and 14, and Cash is how old?
He's four. Yeah, he's big as a 7-year-old, but he's four.
Yeah, no, he's big, yeah. But, like, you know, you don't have to have a huge thing. My boys basically live most of their, you know, teenager, their growing up life on a 2-acre, actually 1.8 acre farm in Golden. And they're superstars because they can cut pipe and drive a skid steer and do that. I mean, they get good grades and everything too. But when you first came to Sea Falls and we're talking about it and Cash was running around or whatever, I mean, I was basically going, wow, this is just like Michael and Matthew, you know?
Flashbacks. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to have 1,000 acres to teach kids good skills. And Fenton picked him up too out of a deliberate, I mean, it's a choice to become skilled. What made you, John, when you were like, when did you figure out that you wanted to do other things than just use your thumbs on the text?
That's been a long time coming. I don't know. That's something since I was little. So
I think the three of us have, you know, besides that fact that we're humans and we're males, I think that the other fact that we have in common is the common thread is that we're just, it's a passion. I mean, if it wasn't, there would be no way we would be spending this much time and investing the time and obviously the money to get around the country to see all these different places. It really is a passion. It feels good to know there's something out there like that for us. And we're very excited to see your next development, your next phase. And we're in Colorado at least 2 or 3 times per year. So you guys are thinking 6 months from now, there'll be something. We want to see that farm kit. I mean, you guys you teased us with the drawings of that thing, but to actually see one in person.
Yeah. No. So one way or the other, like our goal, like from a, just, you know, from a, we're like every other company we've gone around and around and whatever, and it's taken, you know, it always takes forever, but we're in pretty good shape to get some farm kit built starting at least probably in the first or second quarter. And there's actually, I think Baseline is the best because the views and its location. It's 15 minutes from DIA. You know, I mean, it's like literally a great real estate play as well as what we're going to do together. But we have like 20 of those farm kits kind of ready to go all over the country. So it's going to spring here pretty quick. And then, you know, once everybody sees them, I think it's going to be Katie bar the door, right? You just, we'll figure out how we can build as many as we need to. But I think you're a great, you'd be a great candidate for one, and particularly early on, like we could figure out how to get you in one really inexpensively. I don't know exactly how that would work, but just because of your food relationship and your media skill and whatever. I mean, so we'll figure it out. We'll figure a way.
That'd be awesome. The farm kit itself, when you say farm kit, I don't know if people have a true, I mean, farm kit, it doesn't do it justice, but when they see the concept design of this thing, how it looks so modern, and you have the upstairs for the living area and the downstairs for the working area. John and both you guys, Quinn, I'm not saying this just to, toot your horns, but there's something about that design because it's so unique and so functional for our lifestyle. It's amazing.
It's killer.
And it really is.
We spend an amazing amount of effort on that. And the reason that it turned out that that's like, you just made my year. It's only 7 days into 2019 and you already made my year, Brett.
Thanks.
No, here's the funny story. I'll tell you the background because it's really, we have a partner who lives in Santa Barbara named Paul Newton, and he's an architectural guru. Like he's a really interesting, eclectic guy, really high tech guy, and everything. But he worked for our firm, I don't know, 15 or 20 years or whatever. And then his wife wanted to move or whatever, but he's been the partner in Agriburbia the whole time or whatever. And when we started like trying to figure out how you're really going to farm and how you're really going to make a product, and how you're really going to live and all that, I would call him and say, it's got to have glass on it. Or it has to have, the floor has to drain because you have to be able to have plants. People want plants inside their house.
Yeah.
And I would just coach him. And eventually we got to that building through all the things that we really, really firmly believe that people will use on a daily basis. And it's really functional. Like we didn't worry about what it looked like, but it came out looking like that. I mean, completely iconic because if you just kind of follow the real intent of things. Mm-hmm. Like I believe that. Like if you really follow the intent of things and you make a building that's useful, it'll be cool. And it turned out really cool. And we're trying to get the first one out of the ground here so people can physically see it.
Yeah.
But it won't be too long.
That's awesome, man. We're looking forward to that. Like I said, we roll through Colorado at least two or three times per year, once in the spring and then for sure one in the fall. So that springtime trip might be where we can actually see that thing in person.
Yeah, absolutely. Either way, we'll have you out here and you can see our farm as well. So whenever you come back to Colorado, let me know and we'll figure out a way to meet. We'll all have dinner together or something.
For sure. And we got to get Beckner. I mean, I'm going to give him a little bit of a hard time because I was really looking forward to having him on this call too. And here's how humble this guy is. He sent me a picture the other day and saying, yeah, I'm hanging out here. We met him obviously a couple times in person, but he never mentioned that I'm bragging for him now, that he does really know he hangs out with a Dave Matthews Band out there in Virginia. And he sends me a picture from the concert. I say, hey, John, what are you doing? Well, I'm just hanging out here with the Dave Matthews guys. And he sends me a picture of him playing guitar with those guys. I'm like, are you serious? He goes, yeah. He's just a really, really, he's a humble guy, but he's got to be just as cool of a business partner to have as well, huh?
Oh, so I was back there two trips ago and he was playing. So I, whenever I'm back there, I always go watch him play whenever, and we were at this tea shop, probably a room of 50, 60 people. And Jason Mraz's sister was there and they're raising money for Jason Mraz's stuff or whatever. And I met her. And she's like, oh, this is cool. And Jason owns a farm. And, and so Beckner like mixes all of it. It's a pretty eclectic thing. He's good at it. Yeah. We all have those kinds of things. Like even our, so even our lawyer, the lawyer that's a partner, she is a jazz singer in the Ella Fitzgerald mode.
Wow.
Seriously, she is. She's a scat singer that you cannot believe. And but she's a lawyer. Like she's a full, you know, she's like a, and she's a total foodie.
Yep.
And she just, we met her and she goes, "Can, what do I need to do to be part of it?" And so she does all of our legal work internally, you know, or whatever. So anyway,
pretty cool stuff, man. It's, it, it really is a creative outlet.
We'll have you meet all those people.
Awesome.
We'll figure out some way to get you on board eventually.
That'd be awesome, man. We'd appreciate that. You guys, appreciate you taking the time out of your extremely, extremely busy day. I know you guys have a lot going on out there. Please do me, do us a favor and keep us in the loop. If you want to send any new updates or pictures to us, we can post on that agrihoodliving.com website and we'll put on your baseline page. And same with Chickahominy Falls. How's that coming along, by the way? The one in Virginia.
It's okay. It's good. Like I say, they are trying to take it on themselves a little bit. And I think that's going to be a little frustrating for them already. They're already calling us saying, we need you back, but that's all right. Well, I mean, you'll help them. We'll get them through or whatever. But I mean, it's tremendously successful, right? Like they sold a lot of homes. They sold a lot of real estate. There's people that are there because they want a healthy life. I mean, all the things we're talking about, even though it's not the actual building, it's all the things that happened with the building happened with that. Well, they've happened with all the projects that we've done, basically. You know, people get enthused. It's a gut. It's a, you know, everybody likes the kitchen, right? That's where everybody meets and
yeah,
talks.
The gathering spot.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, it's the same kind of humanness. When people, you know, are around food, they loosen up and they start thinking about their life differently than when they're in a corporate boardroom, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as good as you guys are, I don't, you know, if the track record that Agriburby has, I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to have you on board as part of their development team. And you know, you wouldn't go to your a barber to get your teeth cleaned, right? You wouldn't go to your dentist to get your hair cut. So you guys know what you're doing. They should stick with you because you guys are on track for something pretty big. So thank you again for sharing. And again, if you have anything you want to reach out to us with, a new content, pictures, whatever, another phone call, follow up, you have an invite anytime you want it.
Oh yeah. And like you say, you tell us when you're coming this way for sure. We'll keep you in the loop. And then some way or the other, we'll see you soon.
All right, you guys. Thanks again. We appreciate that. You guys have a good one.
All right. Thanks for having us, Brett.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
If healthy and sustainable living is important to you and your family, join the Coleman family as they travel the country and discover some of the best agri communities in America.